So today I'm going to be presenting some of the data from a project in my dissertation, focusing on understanding the different mechanisms used for freezing tolerance in perennial ryegrass with a focus on gene expression. So winter kills can be an issue for turf grass in northern and transition zone climates. Winter kill is a general term that we use to describe damage seen during winter. And instead of being caused by one factor alone, it is actually caused by a variety of different environmental stresses. However, we know that regardless of the cause, it results in damage to turf meristematic zones, as you can see in this picture to the right. The reestablishment process is extremely costly and time-consuming and can cause delays in golf course openings and delays in sports field openings as well. So there are a variety of factors that influence the potential for a winter kill scenario, many of which have to do with climatic conditions such as temperature and precipitation, but can also include agronomic practices. However, in many instances, it seems that the most important factor associated with winter kill sensitivity is the species of grass used or the cultivar. So this is a picture of a fairway that is a mixture of creeping bentgrass and annual bluegrass. Creeping bentgrass was resodded in the center, and following winter, as you could see, creeping bentgrass was the species to primarily survive. So due to the fact that plant genetics plays such an important role, it's really important that we take the time to look at and try to understand these different mechanisms. So now I'm going to take a moment to look at some of the traits that are important for winter survival, in particular, high cold acclimation capacity. So we know that freezing tolerance requires a period of cold acclimation, which is triggered by decreases in temperature and photoperiod. And the main goal of cold acclimation is actually to allow plants to survive extended periods of freezing. However, freezing presents very unique stresses to the plant, primarily due to the formation of ice inside of tissues, and it can affect different processes as well and cause mechanical damage as well as other osmotic or desiccation-related stresses. In addition to high cold acclimation capacity, we also want to look at high deacclimation resistance. So we define deacclimation as the loss in freezing tolerance. It is a natural process that occurs from the transition of winter to spring. However, it can occur prematurely, and it can result in an increase in winter kill scenarios. So down here, these pictures are an example of a winter thaw event in January, and the species here, annual bluegrass, so you can see the soil is wet, and the shoots and roots are both actively growing. So this would cause winter kill when the night temperatures drop following this midwinter thaw. Well, this leads us to the main goal of our research, which is to identify molecular and physiological traits that are associated with cold acclimation and deacclimation resistance in perennial ryegrass. We use perennial ryegrass as our main system because it is an economically important turf and forage grass, but it also has many desirable traits such as rapid germination establishment and high traffic tolerance. However, it is sensitive to temperature extremes, as you can see here in this picture. This leads to our objectives, which are to understand changes molecularly and physiology related associated with freezing tolerance in two perennial ryegrass genotypes, and also to examine how changes in gene expression in both crown and leaf tissue can contribute to these differences seen, in particular with cold acclimation and deacclimation. So the plant materials that we selected were two genotypes. They were screened and selected for their freezing tolerance and deacclimation resistance. Our PR73, I'm going to refer to this here for the rest of this presentation, is our freezing tolerant genotype, and our PR16 I will refer to as our freezing sensitive genotype. So vegetative clones were propagated to fill 10 centimeter by 10 centimeter pots that were filled with sand and maintained in the greenhouse under optimal growing conditions for a 3-month establishment period before being moved into controlled growth chambers for the initiation of our temperature treatments. So for our temperature treatments, we selected these cold acclimating treatments based on previous research, identifying the temperature treatments and durations needed for optimal cold acclimation in perennial ryegrass. Plants were moved sequentially through each of these treatments, and a subset was selected and taken out and destructively harvested. And then, either taken from -2 to 4 Celsius or 8 Celsius to mimic a mild versus moderate deacclimation event. We also sampled at 1 to 5 days to look at short versus prolonged exposure. Following each temperature treatment, leaf and crown tissues were harvested. To determine freezing tolerance, we used the LT50 method, where we took individual plants and put them into a programmable freeze chamber from negative 6 Celsius to negative 18, removing a subset at each temperature and replanting in the greenhouse for reestablishment and survival assessment. In addition, we took many morphological and physiological measurements, such as crown moisture content, shoot growth, and photochemical efficiency. And in addition, we did gene expression. So following each temperature treatment, RNA was extracted, converted to cDNA, and used for quantitative PCR, and primers were designed based on previous literature. However, today I'm only going to focus on these measurements for the sake of time. So we selected our genes based on their known roles in freezing tolerance in grasses. The particular subset I will be focusing on today have to do with these functions, so water relations, carbohydrate metabolism, and ice control. So this is a table with giving name to the genes that we selected following or from those known functions. And I want to point out our carbohydrate metabolism genes in particular, so our PRFT1 and 1FEH. So fructans are the main storage carbohydrate in cool season grasses and have been known to be important in freezing tolerance for perennial ryegrass. So we had a completely randomized design with 4 biological replications for treatment genotype combination. And all the data was analyzed using ANOVA and means separated using LSD for our freezing tolerance and crown moisture content measurements and one-tailed t-test for our gene expression measurements. So moving on to results, first I'm going to talk about freezing tolerance. On the left, we have our LT50 in degrees Celsius. So the lower the LT50, actually the greater the freezing tolerance. So we know that grasses can deacclimate, as we can see here. However, actually most of the injury that determines, that is important in winter kill is influenced by freezing tolerance. So that's why we look at freezing tolerance here. And the most interesting thing is that at 4 Celsius for one day, we see that our freezing sensitive genotype actually lost freezing tolerance, whereas our tolerant genotype maintained that freezing tolerance. At 5 days, both of our cultivars or genotypes ended up having the same freezing tolerance, so our freezing tolerant genotype does deacclimate, it just takes longer. So this means that it has higher deacclimation resistance. Now I'm going to talk about our gene expression results. So looking at PIP1, which is an aquaporin involved in water transport, I'm going to take time to set this up because all the gene expression results will follow the same layout. On the left, we have our delta-delta CT, so that's our relative gene expression. Bottom are cold acclimation and deacclimation treatments. Our cold acclimation treatments were standardized to 20 degrees Celsius, our non-acclimated, and our cold deacclimation treatments were standardized to negative 2 degrees Celsius, which was our sub-zero acclimation. So you can see here that our freezing-sensitive genotype had significantly higher PIP1 expression during cold acclimation comparatively to our freezing-tolerant genotype, and while there's a decrease during deacclimation, it still maintains a higher expression level. So this means that this higher expression could be predisposing this genotype to tissue rehydration. Then when looking at crown moisture content, we found that the only statistical or significant measurements that we had taken came from 4 Celsius one day. So our freezing tolerant genotype actually had significantly lower crown hydration or crown moisture content than our freezing sensitive genotype. And this is actually interesting because it can be linked back to our previous slide, which looked at water transport. And so in conjunction, this could mean that this freezing sensitive genotype could have increased hydraulic conductivity during warming events, which can predispose it to winter kill. Now we look at our ice recrystallization inhibitor gene. During cold acclimation, our freezing tolerant genotype has significantly higher expression than our freezing sensitive genotype, and we find a similar trend during deacclimation. And what this could mean is that this freezing sensitive genotype could have less potential for ice or mechanical damage during these freeze thaw events. Now we're going to be looking at our fructan synthesis gene. I just want to point out again that fructans have been shown to be positively correlated with higher freezing tolerance in grasses, and that they can exist in long and short chains and play a role in osmotic adjustment and cell membrane integrity. So here we see higher levels in the freezing tolerant genotype during cold acclimation, significantly so comparatively, and during deacclimation we also see higher levels generally. So this could mean that our freezing tolerant genotype with these higher expression levels could have higher cellular stability along with osmotic adjustment. Next, we're going to be looking at our fructan degradation gene. So I just want to point out that this gene has been known to take large fructans and make them into shorter fructans, which could be used in osmotic adjustment or in cellular membrane stability. However, we don't necessarily know where the products are going or if they're being used for growth, so more investigation is needed. However, we do see that there is higher expression levels during cold acclimation and deacclimation, significantly higher than our freezing-sensitive genotype. So our freezing-tolerant genotype could have higher membrane stability due to the function of this gene. So I'm going to move on to summary and conclusions. We saw that our perennial ryegrass genotypes had extreme variation in the development of freezing tolerance, so our cold acclimation capacity, along with the maintenance of our freezing tolerance, so our deacclimation resistance. Our freezing tolerant genotype exhibited higher deacclimation resistance. Additional screening is required with a variety of different genotypes and cultivars. However, this is interesting because in other species, particularly woody perennials that have done research in this, found that higher cold acclimation capacity does not necessarily mean that the plant will be deacclimation resistant. However, it just seems that in our case, we did find it to be so. And we also saw that trends in deacclimation, so I only focused on our 8 degrees Celsius for the sake of time today. However, we found similar trends in expression and physiological responses. However, there was a difference in magnitude, which is what we would expect. And so in summary, we found that higher freezing tolerance during deacclimation, or cold acclimation and during deacclimation, was associated with lower PIP1 expression, our higher expression of our ice recrystallization inhibitor gene, of our fructan synthesis gene, and our fructan degradation gene. But once again, more research is going to have to be done to actually see where the products of fructan degradation are going. And we're really interested in looking at what unique genes are associated with cold acclimation. So a fault of this research is that we are looking at known genes, so we're not finding any unique genes that might have something to do with deacclimation. So that leads us to our future research. We want to examine global transcriptome changes in relation to deacclimation resistance to identify early regulatory factors. We want to connect these gene expression changes with downstream whole proteome changes, because research has shown that it isn't always connected, and so we want to be able to see exactly what's happening with different modifications. And we also want to confirm these results using a larger population of perennial ryegrass, because the main goal of this is to identify different genes or protein products that can be used in breeding programs to help screen for potential winter hardiness. So I'd like to take the moment to acknowledge my committee members, my lab members who have helped me with the destructive harvesting, it was very labor intensive, and other contributors who have helped in many ways along with our funding sources, the NARTF and the UMass Agriculture Food and Environment Center. Thank you. And are there any questions? Okay.
Are there any questions for Rachel? We have time for that.
Yeah. So where did those plants come from? Where is it a cultivar, or where did you identify them?
So I'm just going to repeat that question. It was, where did the plants that we selected come from? So they were actually taken from the University of Minnesota Breeding Program. They were populations. We actually went through and planted out single seeds, propagated, and then tested them. And once we found the particular genotype in that population that had the highest freezing tolerance or the most sensitive freezing tolerance, we vegetatively propagated them to make sure that we had only a single genotype.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.